This is the business of sports.
Should Major League Baseball shorten up the season?
How do we present football to the audience of the future?
I don't think that most players understand the power that they have.
Michael Barr.
The future of IndyCar racing is looking bright.
Scott Soschnick.
Very basic math here. More bidders means more money.
Evan Novy-Williams.
The team value has essentially quadrupled.
And the leaders in the sports industry.
Time to bring in our guest, Hal Steinbrenner.
National Hockey League Commissioner Gary Bettman.
Atlanta Braves President Derek Schiller.
Patriots President Jonathan Kraft.
Bloomberg Business of Sports.
From Bloomberg Radio.
Hello, I'm Scott Soschnick.
And I'm Michael Barr, and this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports, where two-thirds of we...
Would not be us.
Oh.
Two-thirds of us. Normally we, it's two-thirds of us.
Yeah, okay.
I like to be grammatically correct.
I agree with you 10,000%. That is the grammatically
You think the audience
correct.
Notices Eben's not here?
Yes, they
sort
do.
Sort of generic conversation. Where's the stat guy?
Yeah, he's the smartest one of them.
I would not say that.
Okay. We're good.
Anybody can look stuff up before we get on the... No, I kid. He's backpacking something around Canada with his pals.
I'm telling you, man, that he's a rough and tumbles dude. I like that.
He likes to portray that image, despite the man bun.
Doesn't he, like, gut fish and eat it
Yeah,
raw?
How hard is it to cut a fish
eat
head
it
off,
raw?
Slice it across, you know, take out some of the good stuff, put it over a stick and fire, and you eat it.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
I do that
part,
every weekend.
Yeah.
That's not that hard.
Speaking of something that you did this past weekend, oh, we got to talk about this.
I don't have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, man. Our football Super Bowl pool.
Yeah. I intentionally didn't mention this just in case the IRS is listening.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. Let's call it Oreo cookies.
She won some cookies?
She won.
Well, you won some cookies too. Not as many cookies.
Not as many cookies, but yeah, she won the lion's share of the cookies.
And we benefit how?
So
you won some cookies.
Yeah.
Medina won some cookies.
Yeah.
Scott has no cookies. I mean, I think there's a protocol here.
Tough cookies.
Well, I didn't even know I won cookies until I came in and I said, hey, Michael, did I win any cookies by any chance? Because I forgot my sheet at home.
Did he hand you cookies or did he just
say
yes?
And he said, actually, Medina, the third and fourth. It's a bunch
third
of cookies.
And fourth?
That's the big money quarters.
The big money issues in the world of sports today. You're like behind our glass. All right. Well, that's good to know. I'll poke you every now and then and say, what's the benefit on this side of the glass?
I was very excited. Now I could pay off maybe one-third of a credit card bill.
Oh. One-third of a credit?
How about some Carvel something for us? Nothing.
I love Carvel.
Anyway.
If I could have a wedding Carvel cake with the little chocolates in the middle. Oh,
what do you mean
it.
If you could? Why can't you?
Well, wouldn't it melt? I mean, it would get melty
not
pretty quick,
no? Not if you put
quick,
it in
no?
the freezer.
No, I know, but even then I think it would still be melty. And
I don't
is
think
that
so.
Even appropriate for a wedding to have a Carvel ice cream cake?
If it makes you happy, it's your day.
It
anything
does make
that makes
me happy.
You happy. I had an all you can eat make your own sundae bar.
Oh.
That's a very nice option.
Yeah, it was just everybody made, you know, the fudge, the marshmallow, the sprinkle, whatever big hit. Everybody loved it. They were also trashed, but
well, that's what I'm hoping. By the time they get to the cake, they won't even notice it. They're just like, oh, great, it's beautiful.
But if you put the crusty, you know, like a Fudgy the Whale thing, they would notice it no matter how drunk they were.
I probably should just put Fudgy the Whale just for fun.
Yeah, Cookie Puss and Fudgy the Whale.
Wait. What's Fudgy the Whale?
Oh, shut up. Just keep, not, on that, forget it. I can't. There are some questions I cannot, like, the cluelessness I cannot tolerate. Might as well have Novy Williams here. Jesus.
Let's
Speaking
move
of
on.
Cluelessness.
Yeah, let's
there
move
we go.
On
There's
here.
A segue.
Joe Ricketts, TD Ameritrade founder, got into, call it hot water over an email.
Yeah, not just one email. He said some bad things to say about Muslims. He had some racist emails that were forwarded on. And of course, his family, this is a problem in the sports world because his family owns the Chicago Cubs.
Right.
Like Joe still has a sizable percentage of TD Ameritrade. Like that's where I would wonder what's going on there, like almost 7%. But his kids run the team. You know, Tom Ricketts is the chairman. Pete Ricketts, you know, they're all part of the team. He's the governor of Nebraska. Todd Ricketts is the finance chair of the RNC. They've all distanced themselves from their dad's comments or the emails saying, you know, hey, we recognize this was not appropriate. And credit to Pete, his email at the time, his response to his father when he forwarded one of these things was, Dad, you might want to educate yourself. Like, he didn't say, Dad, you're an idiot. I mean, I guess being respectful of his father, but he did say, Dad, you know, you might want to look up some stuff before you forward things like this.
Yeah.
So that was a nice way of telling your dad you're an idiot. Is there backlash against the Cubs? Remains to be seen. You know, baseball said this is not aligned with our values. But again, he's not a controlling owner, but he does have a stake in the team. You know, this sort of small percentage, but he's not really a controlling owner in any way, shape, or form. So what do you do?
Well, this is because he's the patriarch of the Ricketts.
Well, his money, TD Ameritrade money, he sold shares of TD Ameritrade to finance the purchase of the team. So it's a family trust, but it came from dad's money. He certainly has an association with the team. He has a financial interest in the team, yes. But he is not the day-to-day operator of that club.
Yeah, let's say something here. No, we're not condoning the emails one bit. The question is, how much really are the Cubs affected by this?
That's the question. I don't know the answer. Well, it takes some time. Let's see. But how many Cubs fans are now saying, you know what? No good, Joe. Maybe my guess, this is just guess, that whatever stake he has in the club and in the trust, he will divest that stake and officially have no ties
right
to the team other than the name Ricketts.
Right.
That's my guess. I don't know. I mean, this isn't a Donald Sterling situation, who was the controlling right owner of the club. But can you imagine when, you know, the kids are called for comment on this? Like, what, dad did what?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be responsible for things my dad did or said.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Parents, the generation before us and the generation before that, I mean, it's, let's put it this way. There's some old school thinking, out of bounds thinking. Let's leave it at that.
Towards the end of my dad's life, he also suffered from dementia.
Yep.
There's a whole lot of stuff came out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't know what he was saying. It just, stuff came out. But, like, this is different. I understand this is different from that.
Right.
Point being still, it's the father. I'm not sure what do you want Tom Ricketts to do at this point, other than to say it's wrong. We fully admit that. We've told him as much. But, hey, everybody, I control the Cubs, not my father.
Right.
So please don't burn your jerseys. Please don't not come to the ballpark.
Yep.
It's not him.
Super Bowl audience down. In fact, TV audience down in a decade.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because it was a low-scoring game or what.
I don't get the low-scoring because it's still close. Like, you want a close game, right?
Right.
There was a game how many years ago? It was like 28-3 at the half.
Yeah.
And finished. That to me is much worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to
see
that.
0-0, 3-3. Right. At least the game's in doubt.
Through the whole game.
Yeah.
Where, you know,
how many punts will they attempt? If you bet the over-under on 14 punts, congratulations. But
I mean, the game had drama. And up until, so I
what do you say, up until it didn't?
Up until it didn't, yeah.
Until it was over?
Up until it was over. Up until Greg the Leg went wide left, man. Yep. That was it.
Well, again, this is an interesting case study in the linear TV. It's the streaming numbers, as is going to happen for the next, I don't know how many years, streaming numbers will rise. There were still some problems for people trying to watch on Hulu. So,
right,
you know, we're not ready for that big time event yet still. What does that mean for 2021, 2022 when the big rights come up? I don't know. But that's the world we live in. The linear coming down, the streaming going up. But still, what should be mentioned is that the audience is still a gigantic number. You have to give context. It will still be the number one TV show of the year by a wide margin.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's granted, yes, it's the lowest audience in 10 years, but my goodness. I mean, the thing I'm a little more concerned about is that the revenue from the ads apparently was a little lower for CBS than it was for NBC the previous year.
Right. So when you say you're concerned, you don't mean you're concerned.
No. Exactly.
the bar household, not in any way affected by CBS's ad revenue for the Super Bowl. But next year is sold off this year.
Right.
So regular season ratings, good. That was a nice story to tell. Super Bowl, I mean, they do hold back, of course. So next year you'll hold back ads. And if you get, I'm just going to throw out some, you know, if you get the Dallas Cowboys and the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl,
yeah,
those ad rates will be very high.
That's right.
If you get the, all right, I'm going to play along with you here, the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, baby.
Against, I don't know, pick another team that probably
Cleveland Browns, yeah.
Yeah, probably not going to skyrocket.
Let's see.
Baker Mayfield aside.
By the way, it just to show you how important the ads are, had to go to the doctors yesterday, and as I'm walking out of the hospital, I hear the conversation from the people at the front desk. Yes, I love that ad with the football players, and
it was a great ad. So good.
But it shows you people talk about those ads.
But that was the best one.
For the second year in a row, NFL did the best job.
I have to say that was a very good commercial.
It was fantastic. Including the little girl who was like, you know, the little Pop Warner star. Yes. She was in there. People popped up. You're like, wait, who is that ninja at the start?
Right. Yeah,
Ninja was in the commercial. And if you get a chance, if you haven't seen the sort of the extended take, the cutouts, that's online now. And go check out Larry Zonka at the stay for Larry Zonka at the end.
I gotta see that.
The outtakes of this commercial. It's sort of behind the scenes making of it. Stay for Larry Zonka at the end. It's very good.
And you know the commercial and some people were annoyed by it was the Burger King ad with Andy Warhol, which is actual footage of Andy Warhol.
Yeah, I didn't see Burger King in the. The association to me is not like. This is the Burger King audience and demo, and I'm thinking maybe people are looking, like kids are looking and going, who is that?
If you didn't know who it was, and you're from a younger generation, I'm sure there were a lot of parents, and some parents trying to explain it, and some couldn't explain it.
It's like a Campbell soup can. I thought that was a little weird. The one I enjoyed, and Medina, I want to get your take on the one you enjoyed the most beside the NFL. I liked the Zoe Kravitz because...
It's Zoe Kravitz.
Well, no. Because it went this way, and that it was actually effective. Oftentimes, commercials are recorded at a higher volume.
Right.
So it gets your attention. This was the exact opposite. They went serenity. And I actually, for a minute, looked at the TV because I didn't hear anything. I thought maybe it had gone, like something was wrong. And it was about serenity. And drink. Right. I believe it was Michelob or Miller. See, maybe it wasn't the best ad because I don't remember which beer it was. I know it wasn't Anheuser-Busch, I'll tell you that, because I don't care about corn syrup. That's another one, by the way.
Yeah.
We're talking business of sports, by the way. Those ads, there's a big battle between the corn lobby and AB for attacking corn syrup. But these are the things. This is why we love the business of sports. Who would think that minutes after the Super Bowl starts, there's a battle going on between the corn lobby and the biggest advertiser on the big game.
I got to tell you, that didn't pop into my mind until the next day when I'm like,
good for us. We had a story out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So somebody saw the statement from the corn lobby or called it. I mean, we had a story out pretty quickly, but that's what the Super Bowl does.
Now, this didn't air during the Super Bowl, but my favorite ad that came back, guess what day it is?
Hump day?
That's it.
I was waiting for you to chime
Mike,
in.
Mike. That's one of the funniest commercials.
Actually, Geico has been putting out a lot of their older commercials, which has been nice. Like the one guy who makes the collect phone call to his dad. And he's like, I want a baby, it's a boy, or something like that.
Yeah.
Like those are really funny ones.
I said to somebody the other day, do you remember when you used to make collect calls and that was just to tell your parents you got somewhere safe and they would say, no, we don't accept the charges?
Because, I did that all the time.
Right, and they were like, what are you talking about? I'm like, really?
Yeah,
that
was an old school, but the phone company finally caught on,
but
it was nothing they could do about it.
Right.
Yeah, it was good.
There was a lot of ads this year that were pretty good. They weren't as great as some other years maybe, but I like the Stella Artois because I'm a huge Sex and the City fan. And
my wife also said, as soon as she heard the music and saw Carrie Bradshaw, it was like, yay!
Yeah,
it didn't matter that it was the dude next. It didn't matter. It was Carrie Bradshaw.
I was going to say that next because you had... Jeff Bridges, who was the dude from The Big Lebowski. I love that happened. I love that NFL commercial where they're all, you know, with the cake.
I'm not afraid to admit, by the way, watching that the first time, Even I didn't know who everybody was. I've had to go back and watch and be like, oh, okay.
You know what that commercial reminds me of? Just going back, the old light beer commercial when all the stars were at the bowling alley?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, there was a long version that aired during the Super Bowl. Last frame, who's up? Rodney. Yeah, I love that.
You're particularly sensitive to bowling in last frames.
Yes.
With a high score of 299 in a lifetime.
All we need is one pin, Rodney. Moving right along. Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
Talking about playing at Oracle Park next season.
It looks like they kind of have a deal to play at Oracle. And I mean, that's home of the San Francisco Giants. Yeah. I mean, other than the money, why in the world would you want the Raiders tearing up your field? I mean,
we've had this many times. The old Candlestick, I mean, it was the same thing.
Yeah, and it was terrible with the infield on the field.
Yeah, yes, I hated the look. But, I mean, we did this all the time. I mean, the Lions and the Tigers back at the old Tiger Stadium before there was the Silver
Dome. When you have Trammell and Whitaker, you can have a bad infield. She's been dying to hit some sounds back there.
Medina was like, I'm sure old man Barr is going to give me an opening.
Yeah, wait for the Detroit reference. Here
I was
comes.
Waiting.
Yeah.
I was waiting patiently.
Yeah, yes, you were.
But, I mean, it's all the time this used to happen where they played baseball and football.
It was funny. There were some that were wondering on our editorial side. I wouldn't say who. Oh, you know, they still don't have a home. The Raiders don't have a home. What are they going to do next year? Should we really look into this? I'm like, they'll have it. Don't worry.
They're going to play somewhere.
Even if they have to play in the county park.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Chargers playing in a 20,000 seat. It doesn't matter. Again, we'll say it again. It's about TV. You know, if you have to give up 40, 50, 30,000 fans for 8 games, okay.
I promise you, they would go to a college stadium.
They could play UNLV. Absolutely. Give me high school. Texas high school.
Yeah. I mean, they will find a field to play on. I promise you that.
Yeah.
So, God dang it.
I don't know what that was.
That was a little lion. Well, it was a meow, but like a baby lion.
That was just your cat.
That was just a cat. That's what that was.
Oh, to end on such an inauspicious tone.
Hey, yeah, that's right. You've been listening.
Might as well have Nobby Williams here.
No, I just, you know, because it's a lion and, you know, like a meow. It's like, oh, we got it. Yeah. The species, if you
we got
okay,
it.
Okay, just making sure.
Cat-like, yeah.
Cat-like, yes.
Thanks, gang. You suffered through another Bloomberg.
By the way, kudos to the jogger who killed that mountain lion.
Oh, you know what?
Kudos to the jogger.
I can't log it out yet. Yeah.
I mean, and I'm an animal lover.
Listen,
but
I love animals, but if you're going to come bite my face.
If you get attacked by a mountain lion and you choke it out?
Yeah. That guy's a
hero. I feel
hero.
Very sports radio, sports talk show right now with that. But yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what that cat was. Yeah. Wow.
Your cat would, you said
my
your cat.
Your cat
would disappear.
No, my cat, we play, we chase, we do. My cat is more like a dog and it plays. And it wants to play, and it like, make me chase him, so I chase him around the house. So the other day, he went under the couch, and I'm like, so I went to peek over the couch and be like, where are you? And he lunged at my face and scratched the side of my face. He's playing. He wasn't trying to hurt me. Like, his claws weren't fully out, but there was some decent blood. I just got beat up by the cat.
And that's a shame when your cat beats you up.
Yes.
You got a cat beating.
Yeah. Don't worry. Kim, and of course, Kim's like, not are you okay? What does my wife do? Grabs the phone, takes the picture, puts it on Facebook.
Of course, because it's hilarious.
To tell me I got beat up by the cat. Yeah.
That's cat control.
Ugh. I'm going to take your line. This is the Bloom. Go ahead.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scott Soschnick. Yes. Evan Novi Williams, we miss you, man. And it's he's enjoying his vacation.
Yeah,
so.
back soon. We are here each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday exploring the world of money and sports. Join us at the end of the week when we speak with Mastery Inc. founder Rudy Klein Thomas.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world. Meow. And online where you get your podcasts.
Oh.